Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, good evening, good evening, Blog Talk listeners. Thank you once again for joining my sister, my friend, tonight on this great Monday night. I hope that you've had a wonderful day and that God has been truly been in your life today and you've given him all the praise and glory for making it through this day. We thank the Lord for this opportunity tonight to come to you again to talk to you about the issues of women and our fellow sisters in Christ. And we thank Sister Beverly for being our sponsor for Granny's Place for my sister, my friend. We just thank God for the opportunity to just be among the living today and have you listen to us as we discuss our teens again tonight. We're going to be continuing our subject that we were on the last time we were on the line. So God bless each of you for listening and for calling in. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and let Minister Randall start our conversation tonight. Go ahead,
Amen.
Minister
Amen.
Randall.
Thank you, Sister Lewis. Thank you, Sister Blue. And I thank God for Sister Beverly, again, for allowing this opportunity for us to be before you tonight. It's been about 2 weeks now that we talked about the spiritual warfare as it relates to our children and our young adults. We went through what spiritual warfare was and how to prepare for spiritual warfare, where it came from, and the different prayers and things of that nature that we need to be equipped with to cover our children. And we talked about our roles and our responsibility as parents, as leaders, as ministers, or just children of God, sons and daughters of the Most High, as it relates to covering our children, the young adults, and those that have been assigned to us by way of assignment, meaning that they're not necessarily our blood children, but sometimes we may have foster children or, you know, we have children that we just adopted spiritually that God has asked us to labor and pray over. So that the conversation took us to some places and it brought great insight. And we talked about what spiritual warfare was. We talked about why spiritual warfare came, our role as it relates to spiritual warfare, and we even share some information with the children, the teens, the young adults on how to equip yourself for battle. But the thing tonight we want to lead into is that understanding that because you have purpose and because you have been chosen by God to do a work, then we can expect these type of things to come about. So because we can expect for them to come, it would be wise if we equipped ourselves for the things that are about to come. And one of the good a good scripture that would be a good place to start tonight, talking about warfare and the things that we can expect by being called for a purpose and having goals and being predestined to do great things in God, is the story of Nehemiah. That is the example story for opposition, men and women of God coming under spiritual warfare because they have been chosen and because of their purpose. And so in Nehemiah, the fourth chapter, if you read the first and 23rd verse, it gives you the context and the background of the book of Nehemiah. And the people here are in the process of building the wall of Jerusalem. And they knew that it would be a difficult and backbreaking work for those involved, but it was a work that was necessary. And likewise, when it comes down to our children, raising them, grooming them, and covering them, we know that it's something that is required. But we know that it's not an easy task because of just society and all the things that have been introduced to the world, because we're in the world but not of the world. So just like Nehemiah, he was charged to do something that was necessary, but it wasn't an easy task. But it was required, and it was required because if the walls were not built, then they didn't have safety. They were just exposed to the enemy. So likewise, if we don't provide covering to those that we're assigned to, that we're responsible for, we leave them naked and open for the enemy. So our covering is our covering for our children, for the people that we're connected to, is equivalent to the walls that they would have to rebuild in Jerusalem. And on the way of building this wall, they were faced with opposition to their work. And as parents, as aunts, as grandmothers, as leaders, as pastors, as Sunday school teachers, as youth directors, whatever our capacity may be, while we're interacting with the youth and with the young adults, we also face oppositions in our work. And sometimes when we're in our work, we may become weary, we can become disencouraged. But the key thing is that we can never stop because the spiritual warfare will be something that we will have to encounter until the day that Jesus calls us and we're raptured up and we meet him in the air. This is something that's always going to be coming to stop us. So, again, it's not anything to be afraid about. It's not anything for us to go duck and hide about. But the key thing is preparation. So tonight we want to understand that you don't have to go looking for trouble. It knows where to find you. If you have been called for a purpose for the young children, for the teens that are listening tonight, for the adults, if your child has been called for a purpose, if the young men, the young women in your life have been called and they have a purpose in life and God has given them purpose and God has a destiny in store for them, they don't have to go looking for trouble. Trouble knows exactly where they are, and trouble will seek them out. So it's our job to equip them to be aware of this, that they're not out looking for trouble. Sometimes we have this misconception that, oh, they're out looking for trouble. They, you know, they're out doing certain things, and that's not necessarily the truth. They could be simply at the movies. They could be simply at the bowling alley. They can be simply at the skating rink. But the enemy recognizes purpose on them. He recognizes the anointing that's on their life. And guess what? He even recognizes the covering that we have. There's a shield that the enemy can see. And so he finds ways to go seek out the young children and young adults by way of drugs, by way of alcohol, by way of sexual promiscuity, by way of just various different things to pull them in to trouble. So trouble seeks them out. And so that's another key thing that we have to understand, is that they're not looking for it. It seeks them out. Some of the things about trouble we also need to understand, trouble does not always come from the outside. Oftentimes it does. When we are dealing with certain things and we're under attack, the enemy will come from the outside. And for our teens, they deal with things like mockery and intimidation and low self-esteem, and they deal with bullying and all these things of this nature. It comes from the outside. And those who don't know the Lord, often they will attack our children because they don't know that the enemy's using them to attack them. And if we're not careful and we don't have our children rooted and grounded in the Word of God, and if we're not on our knees and we're not praying and we're not petitioning on their behalf, if we're not releasing the angels on their behalf, then a lot of times they can get caught up. And so we want to make sure those things are not happening. So we know that opposition, and we know that these things come from the from the outside, but also the enemy attacks our children the same way that they do us from the inside. And you're like, what do you mean, Mr. Rambe, he attacks us from the inside? It will come from within in the form of deception. In the form of deception, he comes in and he tries to deceive the children, and he also comes in a form of disencouragement. Deception, he comes in, and how many of your parents have heard this, where you're doing everything that you can for your children? For those you're connected to, for those you're serving in ministry, young adults and children, and sometimes they say, you don't love me. You don't really care about me. You don't pay me any attention. You're never there for me. These are some of the words that the enemy puts in their mind to deceive them into believing that the parents don't love them, the father doesn't love them, the mother doesn't love them, and he does that so that he can pull them off in isolation. And then he comes to disencourage them by making them think that their life is so bad when they really have everything they could ever ask for. They have a clean home. They have 3 meals a day. They have clothes to wear to school every day. They have lunch money in their pocket. They're even able to do some extracurricular activity things that we may not have been able to do when we were their age. But the enemy will come and try to disencourage them. And this also happened with Nehemiah and the people that chose to work with him. They came in the form of deception, and they came in the form to discourage them by just saying just like foolish things like, oh, you can never build that wall, mocking them and making a mockery out of them. And so the enemy comes, but we have to make sure that we're preparing them for when he comes and not have them like in la-la land thinking just because you're teens and because you're young adults that you don't have to be spiritually prayed up and be prepared for war and prepared for troubles when trouble comes your way. Again, they're not seeking trouble. Trouble is seeking out them. So it's very important that we equip them with the Word of God so they know that trouble can come from the outside, but they also know that trouble can come within. And the devil's battlefield is the mind. And he works on the mind, and he preys on the mind of our young adults and our children, trying to pull them into this perception. And once their perception is changed, then he has them unless we reach in and pull them out and bring them back into the truth of Jesus Christ. And that is our role, and that is our responsibility as a spiritual leader, as a spiritual covering, And God holds us men and women of God. We are held accountable. We are held accountable. We are held accountable. We are held accountable. And so we talked about, you know, just spiritual warfare, what it is, how we were preparing our children for those things. And we want to talk about some of the best defenses. What are some of the best defenses for our children as they go out into the world? When they're commingling with all diverse backgrounds and all types of people, we have to equip them. It's our responsibility that while we're teaching them how to brush their teeth and how to comb their hair, we're teaching them to take out the trash, and we're teaching them math, and we're teaching them science, and we're teaching them how to spell their name, and we're teaching them how to drive cars, and we're taking them through driver's education and getting their driver's license, and we're teaching our sons how to mow the yard. We're teaching our girls how to bake and how to cook in the kitchen. We also have to teach our children how to be prepared and the best defense against spiritual warfare when spiritual warfare attacks. The best defense against spiritual warfare when it attacks. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. But before I go into the best defense, I'm going to pause for a second to see if anyone that has joined us has any questions so far about what we're talking about, or if you have anything that you would like to share as it relates to spiritual warfare with our children, our role, our responsibility, how to be prepared, our best defense for spiritual warfare. So I'll pause for a second to see if any of the callers have any questions tonight.
Okay, Minister Rendo, we have lost the callers that we had. Hopefully they will call us back and talk to us about if they any questions or concerns they have about our topic tonight, but they did drop, so hopefully
okay.
They'll call us back.
Okay. Well, I'll go ahead and proceed then. So thank you for that, Sister Lewis. We'll go ahead and proceed tonight then, because as our defense, the things that we be training up our children, as we train them in the way they should go, there's some things that we need to make sure that we're giving them to take with them. And number one, we need to train our children to be prayerful. All of life, especially the battles we face in the realm of faith, should be bathed in prayers of God's people. We should always pray, no matter what we're going through in life. As we face battles, as we face opposition, as we're attacked spiritually, this is not a time where we put up our natural fist and we fight people because they said something or they offended us. Because it's really not the person, it's a spirit. So you can beat the crap out of someone with your fist, but you cannot beat a spirit out of someone. So if someone has a destructive spirit, someone has a spirit of sabotage or any of those things, you can slap them around, you can take your belt out, you can whip them, you can do all those things. You can drag them down the street. You can do all those things, but it will not take the spirit out of them. The only way that we can combat this is through prayer. So the number one thing that we want to be training our children to do is always to be prayerful. Pray without ceasing. At a very young age, we need to just teach them more than the Lord's prayer. We need to teach them more than a bedtime prayer. But we need to teach them how to pray a defense prayer to call the angels down to protect them and surround them. Those are the prayers that we miss out on. We teach them how to bless our food. We teach them to pray before we go to bed at night. But how many of us taught our children how to bombard heaven and ask God to release angels of protection to shield them, to cover them? Those are the things that we have failed in so many areas in doing. And those are prayers in these seasons that we need to be teaching our children. Warfare prayers, not the generic things, but warfare, because our children are under attack. The next thing we want to be aware of is that we need to be alert. Prayer should always be coupled with watching. Anytime that we are praying, we also have to watch. We always have to watch. I'm not saying that we'd be looking for a demon behind every bush, but I am advocating alertness to the tactics and the antics of the enemy. He is a deceptive and slippery foe. We are not to be ignorant about his devices. Paul encourages us to stand against the wiles of the devil. Jesus commands the disciples to watch and pray that we enter not into temptation. It is very key that we are alert, that we are watchful, that we're on guard. Not walking around on tippy toes or like I'm walking on eggshells, but be aware that while God is blessing and all these great things is happening, that the enemy is always present. He's always present. And he only told the truth once, when he said that he was walking to and fro, up and down the earth, seeking who he may devour. That is his goal. That is his mission. That is what he does 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That is what he does. That is what he does. And if he attacks us as adults, Of course he's going to do it to our children, or at least try to do it with our children. Today was an awesome morning. It started off great. The Holy Spirit began to speak early this morning. The Word of God came through the awesome prayer call this morning. God blessed through Word. Then the man of God came and shared through Word. It was awesome. Before the call was over, the enemy had already attacked and tried to take away everything that God had given. And even me being a mature Christian, it was a battle for me today to stay focused, to stay prayerful, to stay alert. It was a battle. I had to really push through, because we get tired in this body. We get tired of fighting sometimes. We have to push. But I had to pull myself back into prayer. I had to put my natural guards down and ask the Spirit of God to rise up in me, because I knew it was the enemy. I had to count to 10, pull myself together, and say, God, I know this is the enemy, so give me wisdom on how to deal and how to address the situation now. And by doing that, God came in. So we have to prepare our children to do the same thing, but we can't get so upset with them when they fail, because as mature Christians, we find ourselves falling off sometimes. What more do we expect out of them? What more do we expect out of them? So that is why we've been assigned as their covering, as God matures them, so they can understand and they can be watchful and be alert as it relates to the tricks and the wiles and the foolery and just the deceptiveness of the enemy. Because we have to be careful so that we don't fall, and we don't want them to fall. We don't want to lose another child by way of spiritual warfare, by way of suicide or drug addiction, or any of those things that we have the ability to present to prevent in their life by covering them and sharing the Word of God with them and preparing them. So we want to be prepared, we want to be alert, and we also want to be prepared. We want to be prepared. In the book of Nehemiah, these people were prepared to work without a moment's notice. While we live our lives, we are to be ready to work for God and to war for Him at the same time. This requires that we put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6:10-18 emphasizes it's on whole, the whole armor of God. God wants us to wear all the armor at all times to be ready to stand for Him when trouble finds us. Too many aren't willing to wear all armor at all times. And when we don't wear all armor at all times, that is how the enemy gets in. I didn't have all my armor on this morning. So quickly, my feelings were hurt, because I didn't have my armor on. And because my feelings were hurt, that I began to react out because I didn't have my whole armor on. And I had to pull myself back together and go into the Spirit and ask God to show up. So we want to be prayerful, we want to be alert, and we want to be prepared. We want to be prepared. And how do we prepare? Putting on the whole armor, never taking it off. Somebody said, well, this is uncomfortable, I need to take it off while I sleep. But in the end times that we're living in, we don't have time to take it off. We just need to keep it on at all times, and we need to be accustomed to keeping the armor on at all times, never taking it off. Because when we take it off, that's when he sucker punches us. That's when he sneaks us. That's when he steals our children. That's when he snatches our daughter. That's when the gang snatches our son, when we take off the whole armor. So it's very important that we keep the whole armor on at all times. The next thing is that we not only being prayerful, not only being alert, not only being prepared, but the next thing is we have to be united. We have to be united. We have to be united. It's very important to be in unity, and that demands that we are in tune with one another. That if I'm struggling in an area, if I'm having these things going on in my home or in the ministry, that I have you as my brothers and sisters in Christ to reach out to so that we can come together, because where there's unity, there's strength, and there's wisdom and unity, so that we can pray together. The Bible tells us where two or more touch and agree that he would be in the midst. So that means I need you and you need me as we prepare our children for spiritual warfare and we cover our children and we pray the prayer of protection over them. I need you to be praying for me with me. Last year, I dealt with a thing in my family with my niece. And it was a situation that I had not dealt with before, but I know that it was spiritual warfare. And I was I wasn't embarrassed to reach out to even Sister Lewis and some of the women that may be on this call tonight or were on the call tonight to say, this is what I have going on. Pray with me. Do y'all know about this particular spirit that we're dealing with? What options are available? What's out there? And I began to get feedback, and people were getting to give me information, which was able to lead me to the information that I needed to try to find help for this loved one of mine. So it's very important that we becoming unified. The enemy constantly fights unity. He doesn't want people unified by way of ministry, by way of marriages, by way of friendship, by way of whatever, partnership. He hates unity. He absolutely hates unity. He's always trying to break and always trying to destroy because unity is so powerful, and that's why he's constantly fighting it. But we have to teach our children how to be unified, to be yoked up with believers, to connect with children and teenagers and young adults our age who are trying and striving for the same goal in life, who's trying to please God, who wants something out of their life, who understand spiritual warfare. So when they're going through things, that not only do they have the parents and the elders to pray for them and with them, that they can reach out to like-minded friends and touch and agree by Facebook and all these other social media things that they have out there, kick parties and all these things that you use. It's important that there are people in your life that believe and are trying to do the same thing that you are trying to do so that you never feel like you're alone when you're under attack, that you never feel embarrassed, that you never let the enemy push you out into exile thinking that you're by yourself and no one understands you and there's no one that you can turn to. It's very important that we are unified. And is it our responsibility as parents, as our kids are growing up, that we are connecting them with like-minded young adults, that we're bringing them into a fold around family, around friends who are trying to do the same thing that we're trying to do, leading in the same direction that we're trying to lead into so they can have proper coverage, so they never feel like they're alone and they're doing something on their own without any help. So we have to be unified. And last but not least, the things that we have to be prepared for, we said we have to be prayerful, we have to be alert, we have to be prepared, we must be united. And men and women of God, children, young adults, we have to be determined. We have to be determined. The people that were with Nehemiah were able to build the wall as quickly as they did because they had the mind to work. They were determined. When trouble arises in the process of, in the building process, there must be determination that is greater than the opposition. So our determination has to be greater than the warfare that's been launched against us. A heart that is steadfastly minded to do God's work, regardless of the situation at hand, will always win the day. If you're steadfast and you believe that the victory is greater than opposition, you will always win. The heart is steadfastly minded to do the work of God, regardless of the situation. Regardless of the situation. The secret lies in what has our attention. What has our attention? Does the opposition have our attention, or does the victory have our attention? If you can determine to keep our eyes off the storm and on the Savior, it will always go a long way towards securing the victory in our life. I think we need to be more determined to succeed for the glory of God than we are to fail. We must be determined. We cannot give up. We can't get tired. I know sometimes it gets hard. Men and women of God, for the teenagers I know and the young, I know sometimes it gets hard. I know sometimes it feels like we're all alone and we're in this big world by ourselves and no one quite understands. But we have to be determined because knowing that if we keep moving forward, that in the end of the day, that God will get the glory. It will be for our good and for God's glory. So we want to be prayerful tonight. Make note of that. We want to be alert. We want to be prepared. We want to be united and we want to be determined. And one of the good defenses that we have to remember is that some things are worth fighting for. Our children are worth fighting for. Your families are worth fighting for. Your faith is worth fighting for. Your faith is worth fighting for. In Nehemiah, their enemies did not want them to sacrifice to the Lord. They wanted to get them off the wall. They wanted to discourage them. They wanted them to just stay in the state that they were. They did not want them to walk in the spirit of truth. But they kept moving because they felt like what they believed in, their faith was worth fighting for. And building the wall was giving them the opportunity to worship and give God the praise and reverence and honor that they felt God was due. We need to fight for what we have left. We need to recover that which we have lost. So we have to understand that it's worth fighting for. If your son and daughter are still here, it's not too late. If your nieces, your nephew, your grandchildren are here, it's not too late. It's not too late to cover them. It's not too late to salvage relationships that the enemy has come in and tried to break. It's not too late to pull them out of the hands of Satan and reclaim them back because they don't belong to him. They belong to God. We also understand that not only is our faith we're fighting for, but our family is we're fighting for. Our families we're fighting for. Friends or families are in trouble this evening. We need to fight the good fight of faith for them. Bathe them in prayer. Soak them in the word and battle the enemy tooth and nail to protect them if necessary. We have to say they're willing to fight. I'm willing to fight for them. I'm even willing to die for them. Because Jesus died, he was willing to die for us and gave his life for us. He was our covering. He covered us. He paid it all on the cross. So we can't get to the point in our lives where we're just so caught up in ourselves that we don't want to make any sacrifices for anyone else. And last but not least, our futures we're fighting for. We have been called and God knew us before we were even formed in the womb. He said, I know my plans toward you and my plans toward you are good. And expect the end, the good things. He went before and said that our latter days will be greater than our former days. We should be the head and not the tail. The head and not the tail. He would have said that we're joint heirs to the kingdom. So that means that we have the right to everything that he owns. We have the right to it. He said that his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that means that everything that he went away to prepare for us in heaven, that he wants us to enjoy those things here on earth. He doesn't want you to be the tail. He wants you to be the head. He doesn't want you to be the borrower, but he wants you to be the lender. He doesn't want you to be down, but he wants us to be up. But we have to realize that our future is worth fighting for. Nehemiah knew that if he caved in to the enemy, that the battle was over forever. There would never be life in Jerusalem again. There would be no temple or worship of God in the city. Nehemiah knew the time to stand was right now. We have turned our heads for far too long while the enemy has come in and just ravaged our family. Far too many saints have allowed the enemy to tantalize our children, traumatize our homes, and terrorize our hearts, and tranquilize our worship. If we expect to salvage anything for the glory of God, we must take our stand today. Tomorrow may be too late. We must determine that we will take our stand for God, that we will not allow troubles and trials and the attacks of the enemy and fear we all fear from time to time destroy the work of God we have been entrusted with. So tonight I call you tonight to take your stand for Jesus and for his future. He wants all of us to have. And our children are not just our future, but they are now. God wants us in the wall building business. He wants us to cover our children. He wants us to be the men and women of God that he's called us to be. And I wonder how it would make him feel if we just decided tonight that we will stand up and be what he's called us to be. To do what he's called us to do. To stay in prayer. To remain watchful and alert. To be prepared. To be united. To be determined. To realize that some things are just really worth fighting for. Not a parking lot at Walmart or not the last toy that's on the shelf. But there's some real things that are worth fighting for, and that's our faith. That's our families that are worth fighting for, and that is our future that is worth fighting for. And I thank God for giving us the courage and giving us the insight and endowing us with the Word of God and his truth to help us be the men and women of God that he needs us to be in the last and evil days so that we can restore virtue to the society that's barren of spiritual and moral excellence. That we may be the light shining for our children, for our loved ones, for our nieces, our nephews, our grandchildren, for those young adults that walk the street or catch the bus with us that don't have anybody to be the light for them, that we may be able to sow into their life, that we may be able to provide proper covering for them. And while we're preparing them for everything else in life, that we're also preparing them for spiritual warfare. We're also preparing them for spiritual warfare. So I thank you tonight. I have shared with you what God has given to me on tonight. I hope that the information is something that you can use in your life to share with those that you're connected to. And again, just for closing, Sister Lewis, I want to say just remember to be prayerful, be alert, be prepared, be united, be determined. Determine that there are some things worth fighting for. Remember that your faith is worth fighting for, your family is worth fighting for, and the future that God ordained for you is worth fighting for. And I've shared tonight what God is giving you. And again, I thank you, Sister Lewis. And I thank God for Sister Beverly allowing this opportunity on tonight. So at this time, I'll give it back into your hands.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Minister Rundle, for those encouraging words and just the truthful fact. Like I was sharing with you, we've been studying the spiritual warfare I have with Minister Brenda Williams, who is called a SWAT team that we do, and we're about to graduate from the class in about March, so we'll be having a graduation early April.
Amen.
Hopefully that we can demonstrate some of this armor and demonstrate what we've learned through the class that I've been taking, and I will tell you more about it when we get together. But I do appreciate these encouraging words. These are some of the things that we have been studying, especially telling us to put on our whole armor of God before we leave home each morning. She is asked that we equip ourselves with the armor of God and use them daily. The prayer is one of the things that we've learned that we should pray throughout the day, as Daniel did, three times a day, and be watchful also as our surroundings, as we see that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy us. And these are things that we must be aware of. Also be prepared. Prepare ourselves for anything. Prepare ourselves for what the enemy has to throw at us, those fiery darts, just the little things that he comes with us at. Maybe somebody saying something to us that we don't really like, or somebody doing something to us that, you know, is really unnecessary and it aggravates us, or just everyday life that we should be prepared to handle. Also, unification is just the number one thing. All of the saints, all of the believers, all of those who profess Christ should be unified. We should be looking out one for another. We should be taking care of the needs of our sisters and brothers in unity, and not to talk about each other, not to gossip, but to help one another. To when we see things that are not glorifying God, that are not being in unity and harmony with God's law and his purpose, and we should you try and help each other with that, unify. That's the only way we're going to build the kingdom of God anyway, if we're unified. So I've learned a lot, and determination, that is a very good focal point right there, because if you're not determined, you're fouled. If you don't have anything that you want to fight for, that you want to accomplish, and you're not determined in it, you won't accomplish anything, and then you will turn around and be disenchanted or disgusted about what you didn't do. And then that would be something that you bring upon yourself. But as long as you're determined and you keep the word of God in your spirit and in your mind and in your heart, you seeking him first, let him guide you, and keeping your passion for what you do and your determination for what you want to accomplish, you can do all things.
Amen.
All
Amen.
Things. That's just the word of God. And Minister Rundle, I know that you're pushed, that you have another thing that you need to get to, but I want to thank you tonight for those encouraging and inspiring words. And I ask that our listeners, please, if you haven't learned anything tonight, please just take in and focus in your mind that we need to always pray. Just pray without ceasing, and God will help us through all of the trials that we have. If you just pray, you can pray to him for simple things, little things. You talk to him just like you talk to your sisters or your brothers. If we're having any teens listening by cyberspace on their computer tonight, you can just pray to God and just ask him for what you want. The Bible says we have not because we ask not.
Amen.
And we can ask God for anything as long as it's not amiss. And you're asking for just something wildly, you know, it's not in his will, that's amiss. But if you ask within his will, you can get it. You have to believe.
Yes, you can.
Just like Minister Renner will say, fight for your faith.
Amen.
Fight for your future. And fight for your family. Because these are the people that will always be with you. And you do have a future. Jeremiah 29:11 says it. And we have to believe and depend on God's word. We have to always keep his word and pray it back to him, because we can always get results when we pray his word back to him, because he's not a man that he should lie. He's not going to tell us nothing that he's not going to do. So, listeners, be blessed. I want to go ahead and give you a little announcement that Granny's Place is sponsoring on the 1st, 2nd, 4th, Saturdays of the month. We're in Creekside Village on Jim Miller. We are developing a adult literacy and children's literacy program. We're going to have mentors. We're going to have tutors. We're going to have information sessions for the residents and anybody who wants to join us there on Saturdays from 11 to 1:30. You're free to come by and join in with us and bring your children, because we're focusing on reading for the children and enhancing their comprehension, and also those adults that need some tutoring on refreshing their reading skills and learn comprehensive skills. We are there. We have some teachers that have joined us. We have some educators that will be with us also. So come by from 11 to 1:30 at the Creekside Village on Jim Miller. I also want to admonish you to listen to us on Thursday night with Wanda McKinley. She has a show that comes on at 6 o'clock about domestic violence. On Friday night, we have LaShawn, who's talking to the young adults ages 17 to 35 about street talk. Anything you want to talk about that's been on your mind, she has that show. And then on Saturday mornings, Minister Lewis has a great show for young men, older men, deacons, elders, ministers to listen to, giving information about just about anything that you might want to talk about. And then as on Monday nights, we have Minister Randall here with us, and you have my sister, my friend, here with us from 8 to 9 p.m. So please join us any one of those nights, and Minister Randall and I will be getting together to see about sponsoring a youth show for a Tuesday night. We've got to get the times together. We've got discussion about, you know, what they're going to be discussing and how we can help and promote them in their everyday life. So we have some things coming up on the horizon, and God is blessing. God is giving us ideas and strengthening us through what we're hearing and the things that he has for us to do to help his people in throughout the land. So everybody that's listening, be blessed. God bless you, Minister Randall. Be careful, be safe, and again, I thank you for tonight.
Thank God for you. Thank you. God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen. Would you end us with a word of prayer?
I'll be glad to. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity. Father, we thank you for how you've opened doors for us to share your truth throughout the world, throughout the nation, Father. Father, most of all, we thank you for giving us the mind to want to seek you, to know more about you. And Father, we thank you for entrusting us with the responsibility to cover someone else as you covered us. And Father, as we go throughout the remainder of our life, continue to give us wisdom and guidance and understanding in all the things, Father, that you want unfolded to us. Continue to unfold your word. Revelation of your word, Father, so that we may effectively lead your people, that we effectively be kingdom builders and kingdom advancers, Father. God, we thank you for Sister Beverly, Sister Lewis, and this awesome ministry, God, the opportunity they're presenting to others to share your good news, to share your gospel, to share your truth. And, Father, we ask that you cover our children, cover our young adults, cover our loved ones, God, and cover us. We ask you to release your angels of protection around us, Father, and go before us on everything that we do, that no soul will be snatched out of your hand, Father. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory just for being God on tonight. And we love you and we magnify you, God, because you're so good.
Hallelujah.
You're
so
good, God.
So
and we
good.
Thank you for being so good. We thank you for being our loving Father. We thank you for not being only our provider, but we thank you for being our provision, walking with us and teaching us and guiding us and making a way for us when we don't see no way, Father. We thank you for covering our home now and our children now and our grandchildren and everyone that's connected to us. We give you praise, Father. We give you honor
thank
and
you,
we
God.
Give you glory today,
glory
Father,
God.
Just for being
glory
God.
To you,
God, I just want to say thank you. We offer the sacrifice of praise to you today, and we thank you.
Thank
we
you,
thank
Jesus.
You. We thank you.
Lord.
We thank you. We thank you.
Thank
we
you,
thank you. We
thank
you.
You
are worthy. You are
worthy.
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 And we honor you. We honor you. We honor you. We honor you, Father. Help us to be about your business. Help us
help
not
us
to
be
slowful, Father, but we just use our time wisely. We use
yes.
our time wisely to invest in the things that you have us to invest in, Father, to do what you would
yes,
have
God.
Us to do, to be what you have us to be, and to
yes,
go where
God.
You would have us to go. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we pray that everyone on this line tonight, Father, has a peaceful rest, that there's
yes,
no pain, Father, that no high blood pressure, Father, that everything in our body functions as we sleep the way
yes,
that you designed for the function. Nothing will peak, nothing will drop, but everything will flow by the way of your Holy Spirit on
yes.
today, Father. We thank you for being a healer on
yes,
tonight. We
thank
you for being
God.
A deliverer on tonight. We thank you for being
God.
A burden bearer on tonight. We thank you for being everything that we need,
thank
Father.
God.
We thank you. We thank you. Father,
thank
where
you.
We make us strong. And where
yes,
we're strong,
God.
Make us even stronger, Father, so that
yes,
we would not
God.
Fail, that we will fight for our faith. We will fight
yes,
for our
God.
Families, and we will fight for our future through
yes,
prayer,
God.
Through perseverance, Father. And we give you honor, we give you praise, and we give you
yes.
glory. And we declare it so by saying amen, amen,
amen.
And amen,
amen.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You, dear God. And dear God, once would you please just be with my sister, dear God, as she travels or goes on her way
yes.
tonight, dear God. Protect her, God. Keep her, God.
Therefore,
help her to do what your will is to God. And help her to be strong, dear God. Can camp your angels around her. Father, help her to wear her whole armor as she goes
yes.
to and fro, doing the things that she has to do, dear God. Keep her children. Keep her family. Keep
yes.
her loved ones, dear God. Help her, dear God. Be with her, dear God. Leading God.
Yes.
Because we need her, God, to continue to be what you have her to be, dear God, to be the minister, to give us the word that you have given her to give to each one of us, God. Father, we thank you for her tonight, dear God. We just thank you for the love and the fellowship that we have tonight, dear God. We thank you for allowing her to share her wisdom with us tonight, God, to share what you have given her to give to us tonight, God. Keep her, God. Keep her in your will. Keep her in your
yes.
way. Dear God, protect her, lead her, and guide her. Father, let her know that we love her, and whatever she needs, we have her back. Father, but we know that you have her most of all. Wrap her in your arms tonight, dear God. Keep your shield of protection and your angels watching over. In the name of Jesus, I pray this prayer, dear God, for her tonight, dear God.
Thank you,
bless,
Lord.
Bless, keep, and love. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, sister. And listening audience, as usual, you can go and listen to our archive shows. They're always available 24/7. If you just need some inspiration, if you just need some encouragement, if you just need some leadership, just go and listen to the archive shows. We thank you tonight. Be safe. Be careful. We love you. We'll talk later, Minister Randall. I love you. Take care.
Amen.
And good night.